السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. وقال تعالى: لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in these Mubarak days and auspicious days of Hajj. Many of our brothers, our sisters, family members, friends, relatives, etc., many in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have already set out on the journey of Hajj. Some will be leaving. Many of us seated here, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with the opportunity of going for Hajj. Yet there be many who are seated here who as yet have not gone on this auspicious Mubarak journey of Hajj. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in each and every one of us and gives each and every one of us the opportunity to perform the Hajj. On this point, we should remember that this is a journey of mahabbat, it is a journey of love. It is a journey which is driven out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who selects and chooses those who will be accepted for this Mubarak journey, who will be given this opportunity to undertake this Mubarak journey. How often we hear of individuals who didn't have sufficient wealth, and suddenly Allah Ta'ala created some means, Allah Ta'ala created an avenue, made a way for this person. When he looked at his financial condition, when he looked at his predicament and his situation and his budget, then it was not very promising. But suddenly Allah created some arrangement, and you find that this person, he comes to you and says, make dua, Maulana, I can't believe it and I don't know what to say, but alhamdulillah, I'm going for Hajj. So from this we realize that this journey of Hajj is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and chooses. Therefore, when we're making dua, we should not look at our wealth. That is irrelevant. We should focus and gaze on the unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, I am trying to save up. Every month I'm putting 200 rand, 500 rand, maybe something more. But ya Allah, that's within my capacity. But I'm showing you my enthusiasm. That ya Allah, next year you take me for Hajj. But I'm putting this 200 rand away. Or this 500 rand, or whatever it may be. That's all I can afford. That's the display of my enthusiasm. But ya Allah, when you make a decision that somebody must go for Hajj, then Allah's treasures are vast and unlimited. There's no shortage in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we should never lose hope. A Muslim is always optimistic. Why is he always optimistic? Because he's got the support of the creator of the seven heavens and the earth. We find that, and as an example, the little cub in the jungle in South Africa, let's say Kruger National Park. So that cub will sometimes go roam around. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah gives these examples. So that cub will go and roam around, and sometimes that cub will even sometimes provoke the hyena. Now when that hyena is about to tear that cub apart, so to say, figuratively, that cub will just say, just hold on 1 minute. You see, just behind that boulder sitting there with a Mubarak, mashallah, beard, that's my father. He's watching you very closely. So that hyena will suddenly change its strategy and says, no, I wasn't actually troubling you. I was just being good to you. So in other words, that cub becomes so confident because the cub knows that he's got the support of his father, the king of the jungle, that's right behind him. In the same way, the Muslim and the believer. The Muslim and believer who is obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has accepted Allah as his Khaliq, as his Malik. Why should he ever lose hope when he's got the support of Allah behind him? Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of the believer. Yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila al-nur. Allah ta'ala takes the believer out from darkness and directs him towards light. So the believer never ever loses hope in the mercy of Allah, provided of course he is fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of his ability. So we never lose hope in the mercy of Allah ta'ala. We never lose hope in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to our topic, respected elders and brothers, these days of Hajj, extremely auspicious days. These are days even prior to the advent of Islam. These days were regarded as extremely sacred to the extent that the Arabs, who normally were warriors, they were a nation that was extremely ruthless. They were regarded as animals. There was no nation that wanted to rule over them. They were barbaric. They had no mercy in them. But yet even in those days, when the months of Dhul Hijjah, Dhul Qa'dah, the month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, when these months would come, then we find that any form of fighting was impermissible. They were not allowed to fight any longer. All wars came to an end. And we know how the war was in their blood. They would basically write in their will to their children that you must keep on fighting this war. And that war would continue from generation to generation. To the extent that there was one particular battle that continued for a period of 120 years. That war just continued. They carried on fighting. To the extent that the great-great-grandchildren, when they were asked, that, can you explain to us, why are you fighting with this tribe? They didn't know. They said, we don't know why we're fighting, but we just know that our forefathers had advised us and made wasiyah that we must continue and uphold this war against this. These are our enemies. Why are they your enemies? Why are you fighting? No idea. And then the fights and wars would break out over the most trivial issues. One famous war took place between two major tribes, wherein the camel of one particular tribe member accidentally went and grazed into the field of the other tribe member. And because of that, the fight started and it broke out into a full-scale war. Just over the animal grazing in the pastures of the other accidentally. That was their temperament. But yet when the months of Dhul Qa'dah and the month of Dhul Hijjah would commence, all fighting would come to an end. Even they respected these months. From this we understand, respected elders and brothers, as Muslims too, we should regard these months of Dhul Hijjah and Dhul Qa'dah as more sacred than the others. Control ourselves. Let us not engage in any form of fighting. Those same advices that have been given to the Hujjaj, the respective Hujjaj. Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Allah Ta'ala advises those who are commencing this journey of Hajj that there should be no indecent talk that takes place. In fact, respected elders and brothers, with regards to indecency, many of us regard it as something which is, by the way, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith, كَلَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ ولا بالفع ولا باللعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, which means a true believer, a true mu'min is not one that he finds faults in others, and neither does he curse others. ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء, and neither is he immoral or indecent. A Muslim, a true Muslim, always in his speech, he is decent in his speech. He is not vulgar in his speech. Vulgarity is not the trait of a true believer. We may say from this, that that person who engages in vulgar speech, every second word is a swear word. Every second word is a swear word. What we can say is that most probably this person is inadequate in expressing himself in the English language. Otherwise, if a person wants to express himself and show his emotion, he must use the proper words, to use adjectives and adverbs to try and create more emotion in his speech. What's the need to swear? So there's a sign of deficiency in terms of his language skills. So a true believer stays far away from indecent language. And similarly, he is on a high moral ground. That is a true believer. May Allah Ta'ala bless me firstly. It doesn't mean I am standing here, I am regarding myself as superior. I need to develop these qualities too. But every believer, these are the qualities that we need to implement within our lives. Morality, good speech, when we speak to our children, speak to them in good language. Stay far away from vulgarity. So, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ. So, Allah Ta'ala says that when the Haji is going for Hajj, he should stay far away from indecent talk. وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالٍ. And he should stay away from disobeying the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, from transgressing and violating the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and jidal, quarreling and arguing, fighting and quarreling and arguing. Person carries on fighting, I must get back, I must win this argument, I must fight, show my, who is the greatest. In fact, respected elders and brothers, it has reached endemic and epidemic proportions in the Muslim community, and in fact in the world at large. The main cause of conflicts, the main cause of conflicts is pride and takabbur. This ego. Each person has got his ego and is not prepared to give in. I must win this argument. I must show who is the real man. Allah Ta'ala hates this quality of takabbur and pride and ego. And we find that because of this, husbands and wives, you cannot resolve the conflict. Why must I ask for forgiveness? She must ask for forgiveness. The wife is advised, why don't you ask for, why must I must keep on asking for forgiveness? He must ask for forgiveness. And you don't get anywhere. There's nowhere. The brother is trying to, you're trying to resolve the issue between the two brothers? No, no. This time he must come to me. You go to him, he says, no, I'm not seeking for forgiveness. I'm not asking forgiveness. No way. No way. You can't get anywhere. No one is prepared to give in. A true believer was supposed to have been such, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ, that the one who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah elevates that person. Allah raises the rank of that individual. He humbles himself, he annihilates himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prior, few days prior to him leaving this world, he goes on to the minbar. He says, if there's any Sahabi who I have injured, or I have given him a shot, then let him come forward. Here is my back, let him take revenge. If there is any Sahabi that I have been harsh to, let him stand up and let him be harsh back to me. This is humility, respected as well. That the person is able to stand up and apologize for his mistake. Today it is completely missing in the Ummah. Children are suffering from it. The father has to just reprimand the son, and you see, the face changes, the ego comes up, the son slams the door. It is the duty of the parents to train these children to develop the quality of humility. In the latter days, if the parents scolded the child would put his head down, look, raise the gaze on the floor and say, forgive me, I am wrong. These are my parents. That's how they were grounded. Today the child will tell the father, who you think you are? I'm not listening to you. I've got my own life. This pride, this ego then develops. and it's inflated and it carries on being inflated. And then you find that this person grows up in society and he becomes a very unreasonable person. You can't reason with him. You're trying to reason with the person, he's not prepared to give in. Yet what you're saying is so logical. Because this child has been brought up with this ego and the parents have ensured that the ego was protected. No, don't tell him anything. He'll get upset. Don't say anything to him, because if you say something to him, you'll get upset. What we're not realizing is we're creating a comfort zone around our children. Hence our children are unable to face the challenges of the life outside. We've got to be able to say that, tell him he was wrong. My son, you were wrong in what you were saying. This was wrong. Accept it. He says, no, I agree I was wrong. You are training that child to be able to understand that he is not always correct. He is not always the one who comes out first. He is not always the greatest. She must be able to accept defeat in life. We must be able to humble ourselves and say that, I am sorry. I was wrong in this particular. That is a person who has developed true qualities. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, this conflict scenario, it's becoming more and more. Every single family, respected, ask the ulama, they'll explain to you. There's hardly a single family in the Muslim community where there is not some form of conflict taking place. It is between the parents or the children, between the siblings, between the extended relatives, some conflict taking place. No one wants to give in. The underlying factor, respected elders and brothers, the egos. Conversation is taking place on the table, all the motas and uncles are there. The other one, mota said something, and the youngster who was standing there said, look, I disagree with this particular point. Because that mota, his ego too has become so mota, his ego has become so inflated, it's like a huge balloon. You just take a small pin and prick it there, it explodes. And now suddenly he turns around, now you my nephew, and you think you're too big. I still remember that day when you were small in diapers. Now he turns around, and what has he done? He has belittled that person. This is the result of that ego that is now taking revenge against the person. I'm showing you my authority. Allahu Akbar. Respected Allah and brothers, that person who understands the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will realize how small he really is. That person who understands the greatness of Allah Ta'ala will realize how small he really is. On one occasion, there was a great wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who was walking. And there was a very proud and arrogant wealthy person who was walking with his entire entourage. And that wali of Allah happened to pass by, stepped in a puddle of water and splashed on the person and he knocked him. So he turned around and he says, hey, you know who I am? You know who I am? He says, yes, I know exactly who you are. You are a person who has passed, who only has three conditions. One of three conditions. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, your past, your present, and your future. That's who you are. Either you have a past, you have present, and you have a future. That's your reality. So as far as your past is concerned, then you are created from a filthy drop of fluid. That's your past. And as far as your present is concerned, then currently you have got so many kilograms of stool in your body and so many liters of urine. And as far as your future is concerned, then soon you will be a rotting corpse in the grave. That's who you really are. Yet you are so arrogant and proud. If the person really ponders over himself, then what is there to be proud about? What is there to be proud about? If the person says, well, Maulana, you don't know how many degrees I've got. You know how much of experience I've got to my name? I've been in this field for years and years. The amount of experience there's no one in the industry that's got my experience. Are Bhaji, you asked the question that who gave you the tawfiq to get that experience? If Allah Ta'ala made you such that you were crippled and you couldn't go to work, would you have had any experience in your lives? If Allah Ta'ala made it such that your brain didn't function properly, would you have been able to educate yourself in the first place? What are you so proud and arrogant about? وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Allah says, whatever bounty you have in your life, it is nothing but the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't attribute greatness to yourself. Attribute greatness to Allah ta'ala. All greatness belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in every single rakat of every single salah, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Which means, all praises belongs to Allah alone. Whatever praises it is, it belongs to Allah ta'ala. Even if somebody is praising you, hey, Maulana sahab, you gave such a powerful bayan, or your bayan was so inspiration, the Maulana should think that Allah is the one who gave me the ability to give that bayan. If Allah didn't give the ability, how would the bayan have been given in the first place? The energy is within one's body. Where did it come from? It is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected elders and brothers, this is one of the key factors that causes conflicts to continue and become unresolved. Pride and takabbur and this ego. When no one is prepared to humble himself, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ I stand guarantee بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ For a house and a palace right in the center of Jannah. For that person who gets involved in an argument, he is right. Yet he abandons that argument and says, look, brother, whatever it may be, let's just forget about this argument, and he walks away. He doesn't allow that argument to continue. He doesn't allow that quarrel to continue. He curtails it completely. He says, brother, let's forget this topic completely. Let's talk about something else. Let's not argue. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I stand guarantee for that person for a palace in the center of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, that, O believers, make an effort, the gist of that ayat in Surah Hujarat, that when وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اَقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا That if there are two parties amongst the Muslims that are fighting, then make an effort to resolve that fight. We find in so many communities and so many families, instead of resolving that fight, the family members are taking sides, they're taking sides, and they're adding fuel to that fire. Because they're enjoying it. They're enjoying seeing that fight taking place. You know, like little children in the schools, when you find that these two parties, the two youngsters start fighting, then all the children start cheering them on. Hey, there's a fight taking place there. Drama, thrill, they like the drama and thrill. Unfortunately, many adults have become so childish that we enjoy seeing our family members fighting. So we add more, yeah, you know, he also said this about, forget that he even said this about you. There are certain occasions, respected elders and brothers, when Muslims are permitted to speak lies. We may call it a white lie. One such occasion is when two parties are fighting. In order to create love, you may speak a lie. As you know, I just came from that particular person you're fighting with. He was saying, you know, whatever it may be, but one thing, you are a very good person. You've got a very good heart. And then he goes to the other side. He says, you know, I just came from that person. And he was saying, you know, I've got my differences with him, but you know, we go back a long way. What are you doing? You're creating, and you so to say, you extinguishing that fire of anger in the hearts of each person. And it may take a long time. It's a process. But in the eye of Allah, you have become blessed. Allah is pleased with that action of that person who creates unity between two parties. And it is, especially for the senior citizens and the senior brothers in our community, the grandparents and so on, we should make every effort to try and keep our families united. Keep the families united. The Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so fragmented. And unfortunately, the very family members are making more effort to create more disunity. We should make an effort to unite the families, keep them united. And this is a lesson of Hajj. That whatever we may be, whether the person is Arab, whether the person is Chinese, whether the person is South American, but we all go on those plains of Arafah. We wear the same garb. We go to Mina, we go to Muzdalifah, we go to Makkatul Mukarramah. Yes, we may have our differences here and there. Our language is different. Our color is different. Our ways may be different. There may be lots of diversity, but we can unite on common ground. And this is the thing, that yes, we may have our differences, but let's find some common ground where we can unite. Where we can unite as a family, where we can unite as an ummah. Today the ummah is so large, but it is so weak. It's like the example, respected elders and brothers, of the hand. If you try and hit a person with your fingers spread apart, you will injure your fingers. But you take that same hand, and you close the fingers together, you keep your fingers united together, now see how powerful that punch becomes. That knock becomes so much more powerful. This is the example of the ummah. We are large in number. We say, and we're proud, we say the Muslims are the fastest growing religion. Fastest growing religion in 2025, whatever the statistic may be, Islam will be the dominant religion, and we're proud about it. Despite our numbers, we are so weak. Because there's so much of disunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts. These are some of the lessons of Hajj. Create unity within your hearts. Do not fight with one another. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Remember, whatever you're going to do, whatever good action you do, don't do it for others. If you're going to do it to please this person, they see, you know, I made an effort to try and resolve this marriage, but they don't appreciate anything. That's why I'd rather not do anything for them. The question that you have to ask yourself, that are you really trying to resolve the marriage for their pleasure, or are you resolving it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? If you're resolving it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, whether they acknowledge you, whether they appreciate it or don't appreciate it, Allah saw it. Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah saw that action. That's why when we do something, some good for something, don't wait for some appreciation. That we contributed to the masjid, now we want the Imam Sahab to stand up and give a vote of thanks. And until he didn't give that vote of thanks, then we feel like our contribution to the masjid has not yet been accepted. And sometimes we make sure that, you must make sure that you put the poster there that so and so sponsored this. And must make sure. Otherwise our sponsorship won't get accepted. The person, where is the ikhlas from? The ikhlas is that the person does for Allah and solely for Allah. And similarly, when you are creating unity or any good action, you are doing it. وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Nothing misses Allah Ta'ala. Allah saw it. Allah is aware of it. And Allah has recorded it. Sometimes we said, I put in extra hours for the manager. I told him about it. He forgot about it. He forgot about it. Now I'm going back and say, telling him, reminding him, he says, I don't remember. I feel like my effort has been wasted. Allah Ta'ala never forgets. There's no such thing as Allah Ta'ala is forgetting what good you are doing. وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. And then Allah says something which is as applicable to the Hujjaj as it is to us. That وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That, O Hujjaj and O believers, take provision. When you are undertaking a journey, take the provisions. A person is going from here to Johannesburg, he takes, as we call it, patkos, he takes some food for the journey. In this journey of your life, make sure that you take some provision. In your journey to Hajj, make sure you take this provision. What is that provision? فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. According to many mufassireen, that here the greatest provision that can be taken, whether it is in this life of a believer or whether it is on your journey for Hajj, it is the provision of taqwa. And we hear this topic of taqwa over and over again. When the month of Ramadan came, we heard taqwa, which basically means Allah consciousness. That a believer is conscious at every moment that Allah is watching him. When he is in his business, he knows, my Allah is watching me. When he goes, enters his home, the way he interacts with his wife and his children, he says, Allah is watching me. When he comes to the masjid, Allah is watching him. When he is alone, he's gone to another country to do business, no one is there, he's in the hotel room with the curtains drawn, he says, Allah is watching. That taqwa then creates a barrier from him disobeying and violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua, respected elders and brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with those same qualities that the Hujjaj need to implement in their lives. We had mentioned in the introduction, these days are auspicious days. We know that Qurbani is coming very soon. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraged that those who have the means to perform Qurbani, they should do so and try and do it in the best possible manner. Remember that while spent is not wasted. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued a warning that person who has the financial capacity to do Qurbani, yet he doesn't do Qurbani, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is not welcome at our Eidgah. He mustn't even come near the Eidgah. This is the sign of the displeasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Qurbani is such a great act of ibadah, which requires a separate topic, and inshallah, I'm sure, closer to the days of Qurbani, the respective speakers will touch on this topic. Nevertheless, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with these qualities of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala unites the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala unites our families. And we have again mentioned that if we are fighting with someone in our family, let us humble ourselves and say, listen, today I went for the Jummah Bayan. I went for the Jummah Bayan and I heard about this. You know, whatever happened, you know, I'm forgetting about it. Please make me maaf and forgive me. Look, if the person doesn't forgive you, you have done your duty. You have done your duty. You will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah for your actions. Allah won't question you, okay, why didn't that person ask forgive you? You will be responsible for your actions. Let's do what we need to do. And let's create love in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you.